Okay, I want to bring greetings from Uganda. Greetings from my wife, Flavia Katende, and my son, who is 8 years, keeping the mom, because the other three are out of the house. One has finished university. Another one is in Germany doing engineering, and then Sarah Jacobed is here at Liverpool Hope University doing law. I also want to bring greetings from my church. They know I'm here, and they're praying for me, praying for you. And I want to thank God for this day, the opportunity he has given me to be here once again. Thanks to the shepherd of the flock here. You see, the Bible says that the sheep only hear the voice of the shepherd. So if I come here and say, sit down, listen to the word of God, you won't listen to me because you don't know me. But because I've met the shepherd of the place and he has opened for me the door, now you better listen. So thank you, Pastor Mike and your wife. Thank you for coming over for dinner, and we shared a lot of experience and testimonies. And I want to thank Alison and Ian. They are keeping me, looking after me well. Thank you very much. It's good to see Sue. And for the first time, I met your husband, Steve. He's the man. When you look at Steve, he's the man. God bless you. And everybody, I want to honor everybody, all the leadership team, submit under the authority that God has given you here. And submit under the authority of the Holy Spirit to minister to you today. I really appreciate God for that. Now let's go to work. What I do back home before I start speaking the word of God, I'm a pastor of Life Changing Church. I am also a leader of Wakiso Province, which is the busiest and densely populated district in Uganda, surrounding Kampala, our capital, with over 2,000 churches. And I have to meet the leaders, speak to them, share the experiences, and sort out issues and challenges. You can imagine how many challenges can come your way. Yeah, but my term of office is going to end after 10 years of doing that, and then I become the elder of the same province. So I will still carry on supporting the body of Christ in that area. But I'm also an educator. We're running a school using the SCE curriculum, which is Accelerated Christian Education. We are purposely raising children not to learn how to write, speak English, and find a job. Whereas they will be able to do that, we are raising leaders that will change this generation, change Uganda, Africa, and the rest of the world. Come on, so we are raising them. We are very intentional. I'm mentoring them to become leaders. They are studying other subjects like others in other schools, but we know, according to Psalms 111, verse 2, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by those who delight in them. So we know that God created mathematics, he created science, he created languages, he created people, he created all the things we study in school. So we study using the biblical worldview rather than this kind of evolution stuff that has been introduced to our children. And we are teaching them to lead, because in each one of them, there's leadership. Now, Africa, for instance, is the richest continent. You already know that. If you don't know, learn it from me. Congo alone, its wealth is bigger than many countries in this world. I was in Cape Town, and I met the man who explored the minerals in Uganda. And he said when God created the world, he was left with plenty of minerals, and he didn't know where to put them until he looked at Congo and threw them there, and they splashed in Uganda. So they're discovering great mines. For instance, they've just discovered a great mine of gold in Uganda. over $20 trillion. And that's an understatement. And many others, because I'm not here to preach about that. But that's where I'm coming from. And why are our children starving? Why are children not going to school? Why are women giving birth on the floor? Why should a woman die when she's bringing new life? Now, this is happening in Uganda because poor management, greedy of man. The country is rich, but the people are poor because of the leaders. And this is happening everywhere, especially in our continent. So are we going to be quiet about it? No. Are we going just to pray? No. We are going to pray and engage. Because what the church has done is to pray and keep quiet. We have to pray and engage. That's how I'm raising these kids. And when you meet them, they will challenge you. So that's one of, so keep praying for us. And of course, it's not easy. We are growing in such an environment. But God is good. Right. I am here today to declare the word of God and a season for your country, for your church, but also for every individual in this place. So if you hear anything, it is your season. There is a shifting, there is a season that God has already prepared for us. It's also for me. If you don't take it, I'm going to take it. Because every time I'm preaching, I'm also preaching to myself. So get ready. Get ready for the new season. Now, I know human beings are settlers. When they sit in a chair, they don't want to move. When they settle in Britain, they think there's no other country to live in. Because we are settlers. Human beings. I can't wait to go back to Uganda. Because I'm a settler, I want to go back to Uganda. If you find a Kenyan, they want to stay. Americans want to stay in their country. Because we are settlers. But we need to be on the go. So get ready for the new season. Because we are settlers, we don't like to move on the next step because we're comfortable where we are. So I came to declare a season to move. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. For your information, if you look at the name God, that title God, the biggest part of it is go. The biggest percentage is go. Yeah. That's why Jesus says go. Yeah. Not to your next neighbor, but to nations, because nations are waiting. You must put on that mindset of nations. Stop thinking about your environment only. Jesus said, go to make disciples of all nations. So get ready for the new season. Get ready to move out of the comfort because this is the time. And I'm going to pick my text from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read a popular scripture. I like reading popular scriptures because I don't like reading these scriptures and I saw a dragon coming from the sea with 7 heads with 19 eyes. It confuses people. So let me preach from where you already know. But it's always something new from the Lord. Because the word of God has layers and layers and layers. If you think you know it, you need to open another layer. Because there are layers to every scripture. And God's word is power. God's word is life. Father God, anoint your word. And let it transform our lives. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 60. Maybe before that, I'm going to read. These scriptures are sister scriptures I'm going to use. Let us go to, are you ready in Isaiah? Yeah. Okay, let's go to Isaiah. No worries. Isaiah chapter 60. You can read it even without opening there because it's a popular scripture. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to verse 3 says, arise! Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings, to the brightness of your rising. Now, if there's no king that has come to you, it's a sign that you're still sleeping. If the Gentiles have not come to you, it's a sign you're still sleeping. And the glory of the Lord has not risen upon thee. It's a simple check. You can check yourself. The Bible says, check yourself and see if you're still in faith. So check yourself. If there's no king that has come to you, no Gentiles have come, no nation has come to you, watch out. check if I'm still awake or you're still asleep. Hallelujah. So when the Bible tells us to arise, that means there's sleeping going on. This is the voice of the Lord coming to us in this season. He's calling out to us. He's commanding us to rise because something has already happened outside. Arise and shine, for your light is not coming to your bedroom. It is outside. It's waiting. I don't know people here who are not morning people. You don't like mornings. You see the sun. It's like, oh, I want to go back. It's not, you know, you're not morning people, especially people who stay awake late watching tele, football these days and all these kind of things. You know, I think we were watching a movie yesterday, and this boy is late because he was playing all night. Such people are not morning people. But I also come to realize that Christians are not morning people. Now I'm now switched to the spiritual world. The speech world, okay? We're not morning people. We don't know how to arise in the morning. Now the voice of the Lord goes out. The voice of the Lord goes out. Arise, because you are meant to shine. Each one of us here is meant to shine. Each one of you is meant to
shine.
Come on, shout it out. Everybody's meant to
shine.
But you cannot shine in your sleep. When you sleep, you are vulnerable, you are dead. Actually, the Bible uses that word interchangeably with the word death. When Jesus wanted to go back to resurrect Lazarus, he said to his disciples, "Let us go and wake up Lazarus." Thomas, being Thomas, said, "Lord, are we the one who always wake him up? He will rise when he wants to rise." But they did not know that Lazarus was dead. So, do you know that we die every night and we resurrect every morning? And one day, you and I will not resurrect. And that means your sleep will be longer. And when it stays long, then you've gone to eternity. But God is saying it's not yet time to go into eternity. Arise, because there's that light that is coming to you. You need to shine. And many people and Christians and many churches and many nations are not shining today because we are spiritually asleep. And whatever gifting, whatever calling you have, whatever mandate you have from God, if it is not activated, if it's not working, it's not shining. If you're a musician, I've seen people when you're singing or the choir went off key, I've seen people come and say, you did well, but there you flattered, you know, things did go well. Their job is to criticize. Now, what is inside of them, they are musicians. They know what to do, but they are not shining. They are seated with a gift. The only thing they use their gift for is to criticize those who have made it wrong. They want to correct you. Wake up. You have a gift. Arise and shine.
Amen.
There are many gifts. I wonder how many gifts we are going to miss on this earth that we've never used. There are many gifts. There are songs not sung. There are missions not gone to. There are tickets to countries that have not been used. You even don't have any clue who you are.
Yeah.
And heaven is waiting. That's why the voice of the Lord is going out today for each one of us. Arise. Shine that gift. Shine that calling. Shine that mandate. We have the Great Commission of reaching out to nations. Shine. You were not born to eat, you know, go to school, study, eat, get pension, and die. I don't think God created me for that, to live, eat, you know, earn some money in this world to, you know, to earn a living, and then get my pension in my old age, and then I die. I don't think God can waste time to create man just to live like that. You are called. You are created for a purpose. You are created with that gift. Shine it.
Amen.
And it's the gift that you share with us. It is the gift that you work on that will shine. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Now, we will not be scared of your death. I don't think I'm scared of when people die. Let me tell you something. At your death, we will eat food. We will have a cup of tea. We will sleep. We shall cut the cake. And after a few days, we forget about you. And then life goes back to normal, and you never existed. So personally, I'll not be scared. I used to be scared when I was a little boy. Not anymore. Now, we won't show you that you won't be scared. But when you leave, you won't be there. People will continue with their lives. People still go on holiday because they had already booked the week you die. So they will go. So that doesn't scare me. Doesn't scare me at all. But let me tell you what scares me. What scares me is that which dies in you while you live. The gifts, the songs not sung, the books not written, the nations not reached out to, the people dying in the neighborhood because you have not shared, the gifts that die in you while you live is what scares me. Yeah. When you reach at the end of your life, or at the end of my life, that's all right. But it's not all right when I see you with things dying in you. That's the misery sometimes we see on people's faces. There are things dying in them. It's like a child dying in your stomach, in your womb. That mom cannot be happy. Arise and
shine,
for your light has come. Now let me tell you this also. God will not join you in your sleep. Because he who keeps Israel, he who watches over Israel, does not slumber nor sleep. So don't think he's going to join you. God doesn't sleep. If you enjoy your sleep, stay there. By the day you wake up, he will join you. God has always, in the scriptures, see, he only joined those who arose from sleep. Look at the four lepers. They are contemplating, should we go or should we stay here? When we stay here, we die. When you go there, we die. And God is watching. I'm waiting for a decision. And these four lepers decided, okay, let's go and die like heroes. If they kill us, that's okay. They would be called heroes. And when the Lord saw their decision, phew, he joined them, the Bible says. Some of you think God will join you in your sleep. No, he will not. To everything that God has told me to do, I've not seen him in the beginning. It has taken me to be obedient because I see nothing. I see no provision. I see no support over the things that he has told me to do. But once I start the job, once I start executing the duties that he has given me, I've seen him on the way. Somebody say, on the way.
On the way.
Yes, on the way. So it cannot be in bed. There are people that arise and stay in bed. Have you ever woken up and stayed in bed? Now, God's not talking about that kind of awakening. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, awake, awake. Because you're not waking up, that's why they're calling you again. They're calling us again. Awake, awake, you who sleep. Another version said, you sleeper. I thought the scripture would be coming up here. It's okay. So awake. If there's any sleep going on, please arise from sleep. When you hear the story of Jesus about the tares, what brought the tares? The Bible says when man slept. The devil is watching. And every time you don't utilize because you are sleeping, he will show the tears. Because they asked Jesus, who did this? And Jesus said, the enemy. When did he come? When they slept. Sleep is not spiritual slumber. We're not supposed to be spiritually asleep. We are supposed to be spiritually awake. Now, don't go back to today and say, oh, pastor said you should not go to bed. No, go to bed and sleep. You know what I'm talking about. Spiritual awakeness. The enemy sowed the tares when men slept. Let me tell you this. When nations sleep, the devil sleeps in. Yeah. There's this woman in one of the greatest nations of this world. She wake up one day and said, no Bibles in schools. No prayers in schools. And people said, no way. She went to court, magistrate court. She took her case. And she did not win, but she was up to her point. She went to the high court, and they listened to her. Today, there are no Bibles in schools. There are no prayers in schools because one woman stood. Now, my question is, where was the church? You know that nation. I'm not going to mention it. I don't want to talk about nations. But the thing is, where was the church when this was going on? Now, if the Bible's removed, you think this is just a woman saying these words? She has made a decision over our children. Yeah. Now, our children are growing up in their formation years without the Bible, without the word of God that gives life. I am what I am because the school I went to, my mother taught me the Bible. Yeah. I am what I am today. If I didn't get that foundation in my formation years, I wouldn't be who I am. So where was the church in this great nation? And up to now, nobody has challenged that decision. I want one man. It was a woman who brought it. Now, I want one man. You know, I have this ministry for the men. To rise up and say, there will be Bibles in schools. There will be prayers in schools. And everybody will keep quiet. And then he will go to court and say, I want the Bibles back to school. And the magistrate court will not accept. Then he goes to high court. And because God follows you and joins you when you arise on the way, the high court will say, yes, Bible's back to school, but nobody's rising. We are sleeping. And the enemy has taken over our territory because we are too quiet. Goliath has shouted over us 40 days, 40 nights, and everybody's timid. I don't say that. Oh, you cannot talk about that. The church is not called to be dumb. Yeah. And it's not going to be conducive. Don't wait for conducive atmosphere. Oh, it's now good. We need to preach the gospel in and out of season. Yeah. Opposition is going to come from government, from parliament, from everywhere. Is the church going to be silent? They were silencing Peter, and Peter said, should we listen to you more than God? If you want to kill us, kill us. Yeah. Ye must be saved. He continued shouting to them and preaching the gospel. Arise. This is the season. If you don't arise, the enemy will take over. And he has taken over much of our territory. And like I said in the beginning, praying is not just an option. We need to pray and engage. Amen. We need to put on audacity. Arise with audacity and take over the nation. Take over our families. Bring them back to God. And that's what we need. This is national for you. It is for your family and for you as an individual and as for this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need to arise. Yes, Hallelujah. Now, look at Abraham. Genesis 22. Because of time, just read those scriptures, you read them. Genesis 22. What I've discovered in life, when God answers our prayers, we tend to go into a comfortable mode and a sleeping mode and a relaxed mode. Has God ever answered your prayers? And then you don't need more prayers because, after all, I've seen men looking for young girls to marry and they're looking for this powerful young lady praying in church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think I need that one. We'll be able to sustain our family. And then he marries her, and then prayers stop. Because he did not know she was just praying for her husband. Now the husband came, no more prayers. Now, when God answers our prayers, we tend to be comfortable. And we forget about our mission. And we go into the sleeping mode. Abraham was praying for a child. And as you know, God, the child came. And God looked at Abraham going into the sleeping mode. And he's the man who must bring nations. And said, okay, Abraham, are you comfortable? I want that child. Now, Abraham is not going to be comfortable with that. Oh, Lord, not again, not again. You've come for my child. You gave him to me. Now you've come for him. Now, he cannot sleep. He cannot be in a sleeping mode. He has to stay awake. and said, okay, Lord. Because he was an obedient man, he took his son. Now, this happens in the valley because the Lord said, go and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Now, the Bible says, Abraham arose in the morning, arising to the command of the Lord, and he took the son. Now, what is the message in the valley for Abraham? The message is, sacrifice him. So he arose to Mount Moriah. And when he reached there on top, now let me teach you this. In the world of media and communication, there's what we call frequency. Now, frequency is always better on high. When you're in the valley, the frequency is never good. Now, it's very clear for us in Africa because the network's not that good. But once you go on the mountain, it is always clear on top. So Abraham rose to where the frequency was high because he was obeying God. When we stay in the valley, when we stay asleep, we are off grid. Now listen, the message in the valley for Abraham is sacrifice him. When he reached the top, God said, okay, the frequency is clearer now. And when he's ready to sacrifice his son, the word came on a higher frequency and said, Abraham, don't kill the son. Don't sacrifice the son. Turn around. He's now listening. But if he had stayed in the valley, Abraham would have killed Isaac. But on a higher frequency, he hears God and said, kill the ram instead. Kill that sheep instead. When we arise to God's word, when we stay awake, our frequency remains clear. And you can hear God and what to do. We hear him better when we stay awake, arise to this high frequency, and hear the Lord speak. What is the Lord speaking to Britain this season? Why are all these changes? Do you know that you've had, I know you know it, you've had 7 prime ministers in 10 years?
Yes, right.
What's the meaning of all this? Is anybody reading the times? Is there anybody with a frequency? Or we are just also complaining. We don't know what's happening. The church should know. The church should be on high frequency so that we can hear what is the Lord doing. Why all these wars in the world? Is the church aware? Why are all these cultures bringing foreign religions and gods? Is the church aware? The territory is being taken. The church has left its knees. And we are complaining and talking. That will not help. The church must arise. We must stay awake. We must keep the oil in our lamps. Now what I've seen and what the Lord has told me, the church has the lamp, yeah? They've got the wick, yeah? And they've got the light. But the thing is, they don't have the oil. And that's why the light has gone out. The Holy Spirit, the connection. You see, it is easy for me to come here and minister to you. It's very easy. Because you put me on the program. And it is easy to preach because I have the gift. But am I ministering from connection, connecting to the Lord? Am I connected to God? So you can have the lamp, you can have the wick, you can have the light. But it will go out soon because we need the oil to keep our lamps burning all the time. We need to go on the frequency. We need to stay awake for our nations, for our communities, for our families, for individuals, for every church. I'll finish by this. There's a man called Mordecai. If you read Esther chapter 6, from about verses 10, you go down, Mordecai has done it. Mordecai's identification is with the gate. The moment you mention Mordecai, the next thing is going to be the gate. So when we mention Mike, what do we say next? When you mention David, what do you mention next? Because you must be, when you mention David in the Bible, who do you associate him with immediately? Goliath. How about when you mention Samson? Who do you associate immediately? What comes to your mind? Delilah. You would be known by what you won or what won you. That's very important. So Mordecai is identified by the get. Now, he has made it. God has blessed him. He has answered his prayers. And he's been rewarded. He's rewarded with this massive horse. And all the things that Haman mentioned, they should be given to Mordecai. And Mordecai, the king said, take him around the city. Let everybody know. Cherish him and praise him and all the clapping and all the good things thrown at him. Indeed, Mordecai went in this. He was taken around the city in glory. The answer has been given. And the comfort, I can see the man at the gate and the man in the city on this big horse. Wow! That's where everybody wants to be. I think that's where I want to be. I want to be taken in London. And everybody say, yeah, Katende. I'm even not even calling me David, because David's an English name. Like, Katende and this man from Uganda. That's what I would wish to have. And Jesus has done it for me. But Mordecai, if you read Esther, let us read that. Remember, I'm finishing now. Esther, where is Esther now? Chapter 6, I'll read verse 12. Is anybody there now? Read for me if you are able to, because I want you to read it for me.
Afterwards, Mordecai returned to the king's gate.
Can you read it again? Start again. So that everybody pay attention, listen to these words. Go slowly because I'm teaching.
Afterwards.
After what? After taking him around and all these glorious things and all the praise, afterwards. Look at this man. What did he do?
Mordecai returned to the king's gate.
Stop there. He returned to the king's gate because that's where the frequency is. That's where he got all this glory. But now the enemy is going to use this time of comfort to take the gate. If Mordecai delays, somebody else is going to take the gate. And sooner or later, the glory, the glamour, all the blessings are going to be destroyed. But he knows where the frequency is, the gate. The relationship we've had with Christ before, the connection, the prayers, the fasting, the great commission, the mandate we've got as Christians, we cannot abandon it because God has given us comforts. He has answered our prayers. We cannot stop that. We need, and afterwards, Mordecai went back to the gate. I want to encourage us that we go back in the times when we used to pray and seek God. Times when we used to worship God. Times when we are hungry to preach the gospel. Don't lose the gate. The church has lost the gates. Next time we get time, we will talk about the gates. What are the gates that we have abandoned? Why is the enemy infiltrated all our systems? The gates we abandoned. We need to go back where the frequency is. Awake, awake. Aristotle, now this is not a prophet, but said something. He said nature abhors vacuum. Nature occupies vacuum. Okay? So the Americans took on that, and when JFK was shot dead, they put on the next president aboard Air Force One. They did not wait for Air Force One to come down. Kennedy's wife dress was still in blood. There was no time to go and change. And they did not wait for the chief magistrate to do the function. A local judge in the area had to be put on Air Force One and inaugurated this new president. Because every gap, Americans believe when you leave a gap, the enemy will come. Because somebody must be with this button. You know the button? And they cannot leave space. Now, these are political propagandas. Just to tell the world, don't play with us. Don't think there is gap. There's always a gap. But the point is, they are telling the world. See, his wife is still drenched in blood. And the plane is in the air. We cannot wait for the Air Force One to land. We will inaugurate this president before even... By the time the plane comes down, he's the president. And he has the access to the button. And every country is scared. But the church leaves that space and the enemy sees it and he occupies that vacuum. And the time we wake up, there's no oil in the lamp. We try to light. The wink is empty. There's no, because it's the oil that saturates the wink so that we can have light. The Lord is saying, awake. When men slept, that's when the enemy came. Don't create that vacuum. There's no other time for you and I. You could not be born 200 years earlier, and you will not live here 200 years after. So this is your generation. This is my generation. If you stay asleep, that's it. There's a lady we're praying there. She, where is she? Are you the
Chris,
one?
Yeah. The back.
Yeah. She said, David, you have the button. Pass it on. My mentor, one time was, I'm finished, but excuse me, well, I want to pick on that then and end with that. So this man was moving past the cemetery and saw this cemetery. The Lord told him, look, and there was nothing. He went home. In the night, the scene came back and saw this cemetery. And there's one grave that opened. It was glorious. And there was a man dressed in a suit. And with him was a baton. And he said, Lord, why are you showing me this? He said, he never passed it on. All the anointing, all the knowledge, all the wisdom I gave him, he never mentored anybody. The baton that would have changed the next generation, he's sleeping with it. Because we don't need it in heaven. Heaven doesn't need your anointing. We need it here. Don't die with it. Impart before you depart. I'm going to ask you to stand up, all of you. Now, I would have a word for many of you, if not all, but we never have this time. But this word comes to all of us. Yes. At some point, we slept. We left that vacuum. We no longer give light now because the wink is dry. We no longer have that oil that saturates the wink to be able to give light on top. We abandoned the gates because of the comforts that God has given us. The gifts are not shining. Do you want to shine in your grave like that man? Is that what you want? Is anybody going to listen to you in your grave? No. It's a disappointment to the one who created us to die with the gifts that have not shone in this world. And I want to just give you 1 minute, if that's okay, to talk to God and pledge that, Lord, I'm going to respond to the calling of rising. Of waking me up. He's waking us. Awake, awake, you sleep. I talk to God and I say, Lord, here I am. Everybody, open up your mouth and speak to God. Come on. You know where you've slept. You know where you have abandoned the gates. You know where you created the vacuum. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the voice. Thank you, Lord, for the awakening. Father God, I want to declare a season for this church. It's the season to arise. Thank you for the 50 years, because there is a chance. The Bible says they released prisoners. After 50 years, they released prisoners, and people received back their land. And they received, thank God for the new building. Thank you, Lord, for the new project. After 50 years, there is going to be an awakening, Pastor Michael. Something, this is the season. The Lord brought me here to declare a season of awakening for a great light, for the glory of the Lord. Not only for the church, but every member therein, every member here. People will shine. For those who are doing business, those who are doing ministry, those who are doing various things, go and shine. Amen. Musicians, people who are gifted in politics, go and shine. Amen. For this is the time, there's no other time. Amen. Father God, I declare this great light over Britain, over this nation, over this church, and over every individual of this ministry, Lord. Because there's a shifting. There will be no more vacuums. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. Stay hungry and stay awake. Amen.